The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, where we're still here after the inland hurricane, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. I'm working on a full tummy.
Oh, we had a wonderful dinner tonight.
We did. You know, we've had the Millers here for the last few days. Wonderful guests. And tonight they sprang for the meal. And I got to tell you, that meal was wonderful here in Shelbyville.
Yeah, right there on the public square.
It was. You know, who knew? It's a place that you and I have looked at. I don't know how many times. Are we stuck in a rut or what?
I guess. We're just homebodies. We don't get out to eat very often. We live literally walking distance.
We could literally walk
bunker to
this MREs place all the time.
That's right. Well, with all the things going on in the world out there, it's no wonder. We record this on October 27th of 2010. It's, once again, a very interesting place in which we live.
Interesting and disturbing in some ways.
Yeah.
But you know what? We have joy because we are not to fear. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and He is our shield.
Amen to that. Well, you want to talk about the chessboard, the Middle East chessboard,
or the French fries that I had.
Well, the French fries are good. Those cracked pepper fries.
And the question is, can we get cracked pepper fries if we can no longer get our potatoes from, I don't know, where are we getting them from? Idaho?
Yeah, I don't
Nicaragua.
Know.
Nicaragua? Yeah. I don't know. They were really good. They may have been Nicaraguan fries. No, actually, yesterday you and I were talking about the volcano that is erupting in Indonesia.
Right.
And
Death
about
toll
the,
continues to climb there, yeah.
About the spiritual guardian of the mountain and how he, in 2006, went up to the mountain and spoke to it and prayed to his God.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a combination of Muslim, Hindu, and Buddhist, as they practice in that area. And the mountain, he believed, responded and said that it would quiet down.
Mm-hmm.
This time it didn't work. They found him today buried in the ash in a prayer position. He is now dead.
Oh. So what message do we take from that?
You know, I honestly don't know. What it says to me is that his God...
Mm-hmm. Small g God,
the spirit of that mountain, if he was speaking to an entity, that spirit said, no, we're done with you.
Mm-hmm.
But so interesting that he was found in the prayer position. He refused to leave. I don't know how many others stayed along with him, but he was very well respected. And if you go on the internet, you can find all sorts of photos of him. A charming looking man, smoked heavily, so... Mm. Ironic that mm-hmm. he was the guardian of a smoking mountain. But the ruler of that province said, the one who appointed his father, and this man who is now dead, has inherited it. And I'm really sorry that I'm not saying his name. I honestly don't know that I could pronounce it.
Hmm. And again, as we pointed out yesterday, as of yesterday, there were over 100 dead. As of today, Wednesday, the 27th, the death toll is now hit 300, mm-hmm. and there are 500 more unaccounted for after the earthquake and the tsunami.
It's really horrible. I mean, we go through things here, you know, high winds and things like that.
Right.
And they're nothing compared to the everyday experiences of the people in Indonesia and elsewhere in the third world. The man's name was Marijan, Maba Marijan,
mm-hmm.
with Maba meaning grandfather. It's a term of respect.
He was 83 years old.
He was 83 years old, and like I said, looks like a lovely man, but sadly he picked the wrong God.
Hmm. And again, the tsunami was caused by the same fault that that caused the
terrible one in 2004.
Right, on December 26th, over 200,000 people killed in that event. Now, so this is the same fault line moving again. And while that's going on, of course, we've got the earthquake, Mount Merapi, that is threatening to blow. So just not that's not really a place you'd want to be on planet Earth right now if you've got a choice.
No, and you know, with the death of this man, Meraji, you have to think about the spiritual aspect of a volcano that is erupting. It's more than just a geological event. It's a spiritual event as well, because that's really what's going on behind what we see and, you know, our senses can touch. There are spirits behind many of these things. If you read the Bible, I mean, there are four spirits that are mm-hmm. bound beneath the Euphrates.
Yeah.
That are going to be loosed in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what sort of things are underneath mountains, you know, volcanoes?
And that's a good question. This is a question that a lot of skeptics really get hung up on. They can't get around the fact that in this world, in this fallen world, bad things happen to good people. I mean, and it's a tough question to answer. It's a tough question for Christians to answer. If we follow a loving God, how can he allow things like earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanoes that kill innocent children?
Mm. Well, you know, it's very clear.
And of course, when I say innocent, that's innocent from a human perspective.
Well, that's exactly right. The truth is that even if I tell, you know, I could live a perfect life and tell a lie, I'm condemned to hell for
right.
that. That is just the way the Lord God Almighty chooses to rule his world. He created this world.
Right, and he has also allowed the enemy a certain latitude in this lifetime. So there are things that happen within the reach of the leash on which Lucifer and his minions are kept.
And that's a good way to put it.
And through those actions, there are people who are hurt. And I would contend that, at least in part, some of the reason that bad things happen to good people is to make people question the existence of an almighty, loving, and ultimately just and fair God.
Well, one of the reasons I bring up the spiritual aspect to volcanoes and many of the events that you and I talk about on PID News and PID Radio is because you can watch any headline and start to take a look behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some headlines that are obvious that there's a spiritual component.
Right.
You and I, about a week or so ago, talked about a slaying in the Arizona, in Chandler. And it was the beheading of a man. There were two things, actually, that took place at the same time. The other one was stabbing. Was that it? There were two events that took place in Chandler, Arizona at the same time.
Yeah, the stabbing by the vampire, and then there was
the
beheading.
And the beheading, that's the one I'm talking about. Well, the beheading, there were Ouija boards and other things.
Candles, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there's a story today in the Arizona Republic that says the Chandler detectives are now assuming that based on the evidence, they need to take a look at the spiritual aspect, and they now are investigating the possibility that these men who were all rooming in the same apartment were involved in a Saint Death cult.
Ah, Santa Muerte.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really interesting. There's a book out there by a gentleman that comes recommended by Russ Dizdar. His name is Tony Kail, K-A-I-L, about Santa Muerte. And
have you interviewed him?
I have not. I've had some email exchanges with him, and for one reason or another, we couldn't get our schedules coordinated. I will try to get Tony Kail on to talk about that book. He's done a lot of research into Santa Muerte and the whole Saint Death cult, which is spreading into the United States, as you would guess, with the migration of people from Mexico.
We're going to see it more and more. In fact,
right.
Here in Shelbyville, we have a pretty large component of Mexican-Americans.
Sure.
I'm going to assume they're Mexican Americans, but and many of them still speak Spanish or Mexican.
Yeah, but with them come their cultural practices and beliefs, and Santa Muerte is one of those.
Exactly,
and
if you look at the graphic at PID News that I chose to go with it, I was surprised. I was looking for an image of Saint Death, Santa Muerte, but what I found were the candles, just like the candles that you light for Mary or Jesus. They're Saint Death candles.
Yeah, you're right. I see that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I also remember seeing Obama candles, but That's something else again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot there with the Santa Muerte cult, and we will have to do a program, an interview on that. And like I said, if you think or remember to do it, recommend looking up the book by Tony Kail, K-A-I-L, and that sheds some light on it. I can't think of anything else that is been released, really, that really explores the Santa Muerte cult in depth. So, yeah, definitely something worth looking at.
Well, do you mind if I take a left turn?
You were the queen of left turns.
I know. I just go in circles. I keep turning left.
Is it Albuquerque?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Speaking of things that go awry, this morning there was something that caused the, and it was blamed on the weather, I'm told, the over 10% of our nuclear ballistic missile stockpile to go offline.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. CBS News reported it. A series of computer errors at an Air Force base in Wyoming.
Huh, okay.
Dick Cheney's neck of the woods.
Yeah.
This happened actually on Saturday. It took 50 nuclear intercontinental ballistic missiles, that's one-ninth, over 10% of our stockpile, offline for about an hour.
That's not something you want, you know, anyone else to know about, really.
No, I don't know that it was UFOs this time, but indeed, that is something that you don't want to happen.
Well, that's why it's so interesting, because this follows the press conference that was held a couple of Mondays ago at the National Press Club by the former Air Force servicemen and officers who said, this happened to us a number of times, where unidentified craft approached the base, hovered near the base or whatever, and our systems just shut down on their own.
Well, it's interesting if you actually read between the lines of the report at CBS News. It goes something like this. Engineers believe that the outage at the F.E. Warren Air Force Base was caused by a hardware failure in a launch control computer rather than a power failure, as had been previously reported. So what is really going on here? Okay, we did the nose.
Well, that's interesting.
If you go on down in the article, the military, I'll come in again, does not believe the incident was sabotage.
Or the Stuxnet.
Don't look this way. Exactly. That's exactly what I thought of when I first saw this article. I thought, okay, what virus is in our nuclear system?
Yeah, and it's...
The system is down.
So to prevent that kind of speculation, they... blame it on hardware rather than software.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is a time when the cyber warfare branch of our military is claiming we can defend our country against anything that comes in. This is what was touted right after Stuxnet hit Iran. And there's the cyber warfare group here said, oh, look, we can handle it. Nothing's going to happen. Right after that, over 10% of our nukes go down.
Now, they claim the Defense Department says the president didn't lose the ability to launch missiles if necessary, which I guess is an improvement over Bill Clinton, who just, you know, got out of touch with the nuclear football one day because he was busy playing golf or something. I forget. You know, he just was so inattentive to the aide who carried that nuclear football, the briefcase with all the launch codes, that, you know, they were out of contact. They're never supposed to be out of contact. There's always supposed to be the guy with the nuclear football right there. And Bill Clinton fumbled, and it was no longer accessible
to him. No turnovers for him.
Yes, exactly, because he turned the ball over, and it's a good thing that we recovered the fumble. But, in fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was one of the episodes covered in Gary Aldrich's book, Unlimited Access.
It was. In fact, I think we mentioned that a few days ago.
Right, and I bring it up only because...
We're starting to lap ourselves.
Only because we found that we had discovered a copy of it at the flea market and picked it up, and we actually have it in our collection.
We did.
Again,
isn't that exciting? Yeah. So maybe while you're out of town, I will try to read some of these books. Of course, that's going to be in the middle of National Novel Writing Month.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, anyway, the good news is the nukes are back online. I guess that's good news, and no harm done. But the question remains: how exactly did this happen?
You know, speaking of things happening, you and I and our lovely guests, we were having a conversation at the great restaurant where we ate tonight, And it sort of took a turn that I think we should talk about, and that has to do with WikiLeaks.
Yeah. Of course, we've heard and we talked about a little bit the WikiLeaks release of the documents pertaining to the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And how it has been disclosed through these documents that allegations that were being made about Iran's influence in Iraq are substantially true. And, of course, this was a claim that was being made by the Bush administration. So Julian Assange, the man behind WikiLeaks, dumps this information. Lo and behold, it vindicates the Bush administration and his vilification of Iran.
And it vilifies Iran, absolutely.
Yes, and that's a key point because Iran is has been the bad guy of the Middle East, according to the neocons, since the Clinton administration, you know, the project for
and
the new American century.
And if you think the neocons are no longer there, think again.
So this was an interesting thought, and it's not original to me. I mean, you came up with this before I even mentioned it at dinner tonight, but it's worth mentioning here. This
I was just kind of mad because what's-his-name stole my idea. I know he was in my head today. Get out of there.
And she's talking about a podcast that I listen to.
Adam Curry
and John C. Dvorak, which very entertaining, sometimes a little on the blue side. But it is interesting hearing that there are some secular guys out there with brains who get it, you know, who see the world sort of the same way we do. They just don't have the whole picture because they're not dealing with the entities, the powers and principalities behind the action. But anyway, they brought this up, and that's what got me thinking. So, you know, I'm late to this party. The guy behind WikiLeaks, isn't it interesting that, you know, he's supposed to be this international fugitive who was charged briefly with trafficking in child pornography in Sweden, and then it was dumped again, you know, right away, which, you know, made it obviously just a nuisance prosecution.
Right.
He's supposed to be this fugitive from justice, this guy who's probably committing treasonous acts against the United States by publishing these documents. How is it that he has access to the Washington Post and the Associated Press and the New York Times to give them preview copies of all this stuff before he actually releases it to the internet?
We don't get to give them preview copies of our show.
They don't want preview copies of our show. They couldn't care less if they ever heard.
But Gilbert, stop calling us.
So this has become a big deal now where you've got the New York Times, which, if you remember, through the work of reporters like Judith Miller, put out the official CIA line that, oh, Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, based on very flimsy evidence. Now, there were some WMDs. We won't go into that. That's a topic for another show. The point is that they were doing the bidding of the CIA. Washington Post, you know, and we can go back and I'll find that article from counterpunch.org sometime.
Oh, yeah. I haven't looked at that site in a while.
Yeah, that talks about the CIA guys from the military psyops divisions that were working as interns at CNN in Atlanta. So the intelligence community is tied with the major media news organizations. Make no mistake about that.
No.
So the point is this. What if all these documents pointing the finger at Iran just conveniently happened to be released through all these major media outlets, just as we put a second carrier group into the Persian Gulf directly across from Iran, and the French
group is heading there too.
Just as Osama bin Laden, and I use his name in air quotes because I think he's actually buried in the sand someplace, the real one, is warning the French that they better allow women to wear burqas, very conveniently timed and through the distribution given by these respected mainstream media outlets, given an air of truth. Iran's been messing around in Iraq. Iran is responsible for the trouble there. Iran is arming the militias up against the United States soldier. Iran is responsible for the drums of war are beating, and WikiLeaks is being used to give it credibility.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I really do. There's so much going on right now. You and I were also talking about it. I said, take a look at a map of U.S. bases in the Middle East.
Right.
They form a ring around Iran.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, those dirty rings, you can try scrubbing them.
No.
You can try.
No.
You have to, no. You can't even shout them out.
It's really hard. And I think that a turkey is in, we talked about it last night, they're in a tough spot. So we're going to have to see what goes on in the very, very near future.
And we want to make clear that we don't carry any water for the regime in Iran.
No.
They clearly have an apocalyptic eschatology where they see the 12th Imam coming back and leading the forces of Islam to victory over the heathens, which would be everybody else.
We should not forget that in Ezekiel 38,
yes.
Persia is there.
Exactly right. And
that means they have not been taken out.
That is correct. So all this is setting up something that's ultimately going to happen that involves the Holy Land, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And
it may be the hook in the jaw. I don't know.
Right, right.
We'll see. Well, let's see what's going on. What else is going on in the world? Let me go back to my Instapaper site.
Well, I see that Wells Fargo is admitting that, you know, okay, we did mess up thousands of foreclosures too, just like Bank of America and Citi and, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase. They
we're really, really sorry.
Yeah, we're sick about it. 55,000 foreclosures put on hold, but they say they're going to go back, fix the documents, and push them through. And, of course, Wells Fargo was the company that was hiring people with a couple of weeks of training to sit down and just sign their names
robo-signers
as fast as they possibly can on those foreclosure documents. So again, they're not admitting to anything, really. They're trying to say, okay, well, we made a couple of mistakes. We'll fix them. Just let us keep on going. We need to get this backlog of real estate cleared so the economy can recover.
This is now, I don't know that you're, so I'm sorry if I'm surprising you with this, but was Wells Fargo asked to purchase another bad asset company, or was it the other way around, that a big company had to come in and bail out Wells Fargo?
Well, Wells Fargo, I'd have to go back and dig into this just a little bit.
You ever
bit.
Seen that movie, Wells Fargo?
The Wells Fargo wagon?
No, it takes place up. It's supposedly based on a true story. No, that's Fargo. Sorry.
Yeah. No. you know, all I know is that, you know, Wells County in North Dakota is where my grandparents come from.
That's very strange.
Yeah, Wells
Fargo. It's a Fargo thing.
North Dakota. Right, exactly.
Well, there you go.
So anyway, they I know Bank of America was pushed into taking Merrill Lynch, and they were not told how bad a shape Merrill Lynch was in. So, you know, Bank of America had a lot of debt foisted onto it that it didn't know about. At least that's the claim.
What about all that truth in lending stuff?
Yeah, they don't even tell the truth to one another. How can we expect them to, you know? Let's see.
Well, G20's meeting, dollar sliding, oil's going up. No news there. Hey, there is a story at a blog at Poor Richard, and he is saying green agenda is I'll come in again. The green agenda is about getting rid of as many humans as possible. I'm glad he woke up over there. But speaking of food and green agenda, Michelle Obama has a great idea.
Really?
She has decided that the reason small town young people eat at fast food restaurants is because there are no supermarkets where they live. They're having to buy their food from McDonald's and the neighborhood gas station.
So
she has asked Congress for $400 million to do the food desert.
Food desert.
Food desert program.
So the food.
She's saying that there are regions of the country that are food deserts. All they have are fast food joints. No supermarkets.
Okay.
I don't know where she's talking about.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the article that you've describes this program, and apparently, well, I mean, we always knew that she was kind of out of touch. I mean, when she was wearing $600 sneakers to go volunteer at this food kitchen, you know, the soup kitchen.
Exactly.
It's like,
she wants
hello.
You and I to pay for supermarkets to be able to get probably tax breaks and stuff for setting up in small, isolated areas. I don't know what the heck she is thinking.
You know, yeah,
maybe she's thinking about Fargo, North Dakota. There's not much up there.
Honestly, don't know.
But I bet they've got a supermarket.
You know, Congress actually did a study as part of the 2008 Farm Bill, and they spent $500,000 on studying food deserts. And what they discovered in a report published in June of 2009 was that low-income people live closer to supermarkets than higher-income Americans. Well, gee, median distance to the nearest supermarket is about 8.85 miles, less than 1 mile. Median distance for low-income individuals is about a tenth of a mile less than it is for those with higher income, which makes sense, because if you've got high income, you can afford to live in really remote, inaccessible places behind gates and stuff.
Yeah.
And her claim is that the reason kids are eating poorly is because the supermarkets are really far away and they can't go there and buy. But even if they go to the grocery store and they buy nothing but pork rinds, how does that help?
You know, I lived during the Lyndon Johnson administration years. Uh-huh. And Lady Bird Johnson's big thing, every first lady has to have something.
Apparently.
They do. They have to have an agenda. Laura Bush was, you know, for education.
At work, they call this my CI, my continuous improvement. So she's still really struggling with her CI.
Lady Bird Johnson's CI was beautify America.
Which is a good thing.
It was. And she wanted to take down the big advertising road signs along the highways.
Sure.
And, of course, big business wasn't going to allow that. And she knew. She had to know it was pie in the sky. It was never going to happen, but it was something that gave her an agenda that she could go out, and a bunch of money was spent on it.
Sure.
This is the same boondoggle.
Yeah, and she's proposing a $400 million initiative to help entice grocery stores to locate in these areas where there apparently are no grocery stores. The problem being that most of the areas apparently without grocery stores are where the rich people live.
I can't get, you know, I want my really
goodness.
Nice lobster, and I just can't get it over at the
gas station. And it says even 93% of those who live in low-income areas with limited access travel to the grocery store, either they or another household member drive. So even in these areas, 97% of the people who live there still drive to the store. They're 9/10 of a mile.
I have access to 4 supermarkets. Within a 5-minute drive.
Yeah, yeah.
I could walk to one of them.
This is ridiculous. And this just demonstrates that she's way out of touch, that she has no clue. And, you know, like I said, she's going to have to go back to the drawing board and come up with a better CI, because her, you know, that's not going to pass. It would not pass at our office.
She needs a CIA.
And they're feuding with them, which is why the whole WikiLeaks thing got dumped. You know,
she takes us back to WikiLeaks. Yeah. Well, how about that? Oh,
well, going to be as long as we're speaking about government and you know who and how they do stuff.
Who and how?
Yes, who and what they believe and how that influences what they do. Friday night, View from the Bunker live. Chris Pinto, documentary filmmaker and Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers, will talk about his new DVD just released.
It may not go in the direction you're expecting.
No. That's Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, GMT-5 if you're outside the U.S., and it's at blogtalkradio.com/PID radio.
So, who's going up on Halloween night?
Halloween. We're going to talk about vampires and werewolves. Yeah. The legends.
Lycanthropology.
Yes, lycanthropology. Dr. Judd Burton, who is teaching at the Institute of the Paranormal, Preternatural, and Parapsychological Studies.
Ooh, you get a treat for that.
We'll talk about that and the topic, vampires, werewolves, and a very surprising source, he believes, for the origin of those legends. There's a spiritual, supernatural origin for those legends. We'll talk about that. That'll get posted Sunday at vftb.net.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, we are running out.
Yes. So, until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook.
We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.